just like that, you found us. My name is Ken, and I'm joined by my son, William. Welcome to our journey as we discuss music, life, and our shared love of coffee. This is Studio 36. Okay, William, welcome to Live Week. I'm excited.
Yeah. Feels like it's been a while since we've been in the studio for some reason, even though it's only been a week.
I know. It's been an interesting week.
Yeah.
With getting ready for this this deviation from our normal albums to picking a live album for each other. It's different because of that, but it's also different because you're going to know what live album I picked right from the beginning here.
Oh, yeah. As soon as I start my story, you'll probably be able to guess who I'm
really? So that's how it's going to go this
week?
Yeah. So live brings a whole different dynamic to recommending an album. And I know which live album for a long time that I wanted to put forward for you.
Uh-huh.
What I didn't anticipate was as I was going into this album, I had set it aside for for the past month.
Yeah.
And because it, in a strange kind of way, maybe it's not strange, it really had an emotional impact on me, the live album that I picked for you. And it had an emotional impact on me because it involves Taylor Hawkins.
Yeah.
You know, of course, who passed away in South America on March 25th. And we had already talked about all of the comments and heartfelt sentiment that other bands and band members had made towards Taylor Hawkins. And, you know, since the Foo Fighters have been really completely silent, of course, you know, with Taylor being best friends with Dave Grohl. And I think as Dave would say, a brother from another mother, his best friend, a man from which I would take a bullet. I think we both read that in Grohl's book, Storyteller. And I saw a reference to their first meeting 25 years ago. And the way that Grohl describes that first meeting with Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Was that it was like tearing through the room like a F5 tornado of hyperactive joy.
Yeah.
And I just love it. These guys were clearly so tight. And so it's been an interesting month. I was going to do a Foo Fighter album this past month. And I thought, you know, I'm not ready to do that. And
yeah.
So why do I have this emotional connection? I'm not sure I could fully describe that. I mean, there have been other artists and other artists I respect pass on.
Mm-hmm.
But the, as Grohl would put it, the infectious smile of Taylor Hawkins.
Just the overwhelming joy of, you know, that radiates off of him.
Oh, off of him. And when they're together.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when they have that guitar, vocal, and drum thing all going together at the same time. So this is kind of what I experienced this week. And of course there's been a lot of, things going on, of course, since, there were some festivals that the Foo Fighters were scheduled to be at, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, which of course we're going to see in August, and 10 days later, we were going to go see Foo Fighters. Of course, that's not going to happen anymore, but the, Chili Peppers did a tribute at the NOLA Jazz Festival. Sammy Hagar did a tribute with their song My Hero at another festival in Memphis. And so I've been trying to think of, well, what's the lesson here? What's the lesson when someone passes on? Because it seems like this thing, I suppose I've been on this earth a few more years than you, so I've probably been through the cycle a few more times.
Yeah.
The lesson, it seems trite. Because you want to say, well, cherish every moment you have with somebody, because you don't know if that's your last moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to do. You get caught up in little stuff. You get caught up in little arguments. And it seems unfair, of course, if you didn't take that last moment and cherish that last interaction because you don't know when that last interaction is going to be.
Uh-huh.
So I guess, you know, my thing is I'm just going to keep trying. I'm going to keep trying to remember that when I'm with people, to know that, cherish that moment.
Yeah.
You know, set that bar of disagreement, maybe a little bit higher, let some stuff go, right? Let the little stuff go.
Uh-huh.
And, perhaps this is the gift that people that pass on leave for us, is they leave us this reminder that life is precious. And so that really has nothing to do with the album that I'm going to give you, the live album, except for the fact that I'm going to give you a Foo Fighters live album. You know which one, but we're going to get to that later in the show here. So why don't you tell me a little bit about your week and what went on for you.
So I've had a bit of a long week. You know, I had an AP test today, and that is a different kind of stress, I would say. You know, it's a big test. It's a chance to get a college credit as a high school student, you know, that whole thing. And then,
did you get that number two pencil you were looking for?
Yeah, I had to. It was an $8 pencil.
Boy, $8 that was a big episode yesterday, trying to track down a number two pencil.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But, you know, as I was wrapping things up, I looked back on my school year, and I'm just really happy with the opportunity that my teacher was able to give me, because, you know, my class had started off as just a normal civics class, not an AP class. And we're a whole bunch of students who are not, you know, don't usually take AP classes or any of that kind of thing. And we just decided at the beginning of the year, you know what, why don't we give this AP thing a shot and switch this class to AP government class instead of civics. And, you know, I'm really...
Did they need 14 students to be able to have the class?
They needed most of the class.
Like the Bert Kreischer Russian class he took?
No, they needed most of our civics class to say, hey, let's just go ahead and switch this to government class.
So you got a special bond with a group of people, not just and not just the teacher, but a group of people.
Yeah, but, you know... I especially have that bond with my teacher, though. I'm very appreciative for, you know, the opportunity that he's given me this year, and he's taught me so much. You know,
what are the traits of a teacher that inspire, a teacher that inspires you to push yourself a little bit further, a teacher that inspires you to get up on a Monday morning and come into school? What are those traits, would you say?
I think the thing above all else is just passion. You know, it's showing that you want to be there every day. It's the, you know, the excitement, the, you know, I don't really know how to put it into words other than just, it's the passion for what you're doing, you know?
The passion of what you're doing, or the passion that the teacher brings to what they're doing?
The passion that the teacher brings, honestly, right? You know, because I think that has a greater influence on the student than the student's passion itself.
There you go. So heads up, teacher, if there's one teacher listening, bring your passion and motivate our young learners to learn.
Yeah.
There you go. So you're not too far away from graduation now.
Yeah, no.
I mean, what are we looking at?
Two months?
5 weeks, maybe? 6 weeks?
Six to seven.
It's coming up soon. So anyways, you're doing a great job, and I'm sure you did great on your AP test today.
I hope so.
So anyways, but you're also going to do great in today's podcast, because we're going to talk a little bit about our albums that we listened to last week.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave it up to you whether you want me to go first or you want to go first.
You know, I always go first. So how about you go first?
Okay. I'm going to jump right in then. We had back-to-back Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yep.
I gave you Unlimited Love, which is just the awesome, great new album that the Chili Peppers put out.
Yeah.
And you went, touche, I'm going to give you the last time these guys were together, the same group together.
Yeah.
For Californication,
mm-hmm.
which came out in June of 99. It was their seventh studio album. Also produced by Rick Rubin.
Mm-hmm.
And it has definitely some notable hits. So one might be my favorite, but I think I've developed a few new favorites. So, you know, you've got on this album, of course, you've got Californication.
Yeah.
You've got The Other Side.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Scar Tissue, which is one of my favorite songs ever. And, you know, I was reading a little bit about this album because, of course, once you start listening to an album a few times and then a few times more, and then you start getting closer to the album.
Yeah.
Anthony Kiedis, he said the main point of this album was to tell tales of wandering souls who lost their way searching for the American dream in California. And that's just awesome. I mean, how many times have we talked about going on a road trip and renting a convertible car in LA, putting the top down and cranking up the Chili Peppers, driving right down in the, down there. So it's a really, thank you for giving me that album. Because as you know, my previous favorite album was Blood, Sugar, Sex, Magic.
Yep.
And then I gave you the album that I believe bumped that album, which is their new one, Unlimited Love.
Uh-huh.
And then I went through this one, and of course, the songs I just mentioned, great songs, but I really liked it. Starts off with Around the World.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little skeptical right at the beginning because it was a little bit of chaos, a lot of noise.
Yeah.
But then it just settled in. And no wonder why they use that song for Rockin' California Screamin' Ride. It's the soundtrack for the ride in California. I like the story. Do you know that towards the end of the song, there's that scat? And I can't say exactly the words he used, but it's really funny. He just kind of scat instead of real words, right?
Yeah.
Real lyrics. Apparently, those lyrics came out. And it was Flea's daughter who said, I like that stuff you were doing. So he put the scat back in there. And, you know, I like the lyric. I know for sure that life is beautiful around the world. And that's what this band is all about.
Yeah.
So I like that song. I grew a new love for a couple more songs on that album.
Uh-huh.
I got to admit, I didn't necessarily connect with all the songs on the album, but I really like Parallel Universe.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great song, and I really like Easily. I just like the chorus where it says everything must go, and that's my version of singing, right? So, anyways, I can't sing like them, but Everything Must Go is a great line that just keeps punching through that song, and I think Get on Top. That reminds me of earlier Chili Peppers.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Okay? That totally, for me, that's totally, you know, Mother's Milk or Blood Sugar Sex Magic. So Get on Top was that, which made me think and appreciate, I believe, what you said last week. You had said that Californication, and I'm going to paraphrase here, you believed it was more of a mature album. And it definitely is more of a mature album. And so I'm thinking that maybe I've matured. And so I'm just going to bet and declare right now that Californication is my second favorite Red Hot Chili Peppers album.
All right.
Okay, so I'm sticking with Unlimited Love. But in just the course of 2 weeks, my favorite album dropped to 3, which is great when you have a favorite album that's 3 deep. That's a good bench of albums.
Yeah.
And so there's some other songs. I know that you mentioned Porcelain. You like the slower songs. You know, it's okay. Not really my gig.
Yeah.
The song I Like Dirt. It feels like it was kind of just a filler song, but maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe
no, there's definitely some filler songs on there. I'll admit that.
But your songs, I would imagine, probably came towards the later half of that album.
Mm-hmm.
I would say my favorites were probably on the front side of that album.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and pass it off to you. And I promise that I will never try to sing again when
No.
I'm speaking of lyrics.
No, I like it. Keep doing it. All right. So this week I had Billy Joel, The Stranger. You know, there's just a ton of notable songs on this album. I think I lean more towards the first half of the album. I think you just have a really strong lineup of those first 5 or 6 songs on the album. It's hard for me to move away from that.
I mean, there's definitely some big hits.
Yeah.
But did you, I'll let you get into it. But you mean, did you, when I spoke about how it led into The Stranger and then the end of the album kind of went away and the whistling and the,
Anyways. So first off, Moving Out, it would have been my favorite song, but I was listening to it on the way home from my friend's house. You know, of course I'm running off a few hours of sleep at this point. It's like 8 a.m. All of a sudden that screeching car at the end comes in and it scared the crap out of me while I was driving home because I thought there was an actual car about to hit me.
It's funny you bring that story because I already told you I'm not a big fan of sound effects in songs.
Yeah.
And then when you say that, I can totally that happens to me on some of the there's more than one hip hop song that you have where there's like a little honk in the background or there's a little whirl of a police a siren going on. And I'm looking in all my rearview mirrors thinking, where's that sound coming from? So this one's going to go back to you.
Yep. Next, I think The Stranger is a good song. It's not my favorite, but the piano in the beginning is just, it amazes me how chords and chord structure and chord progression, how much that can affect your emotion of music. You know, I think that's truly an amazing thing. And I think Billy Joel is really good at it. You know, that it almost feels like your emotions are getting abused. Like, you know, just how these little sounds, these frequencies can affect how you feel.
And, well, the chords too. I mean, when you're, when you're in a major, you know, a major key and then you hit hit a minor and it's got that little, it's almost like the, I'm going to do a reference. You probably don't even get it, but whatever. back in the day, back in the day, which was a Wednesday, back in the day, there was, the television series Batman and Robin. Mm-hmm. And whenever there was a fight or whenever there was a bad guy, they would tilt the camera sideways. And to me, that's the video version of a minor chord. It's just like, okay, something bad's going on here.
Yeah.
And so they hit that chord. So I would agree with that. And Billy Joel is, I think, really a master of pulling out emotion from a piano.
Oh, yeah. No, he totally is. And like you said, the outro was great, too. Just the piano and the whistling. It's just a really good album. I don't know what to say. But
I picture with that. So who knows how it's done in the studio, of course, but I guess how I picture it is it goes into The Stranger earlier in the album. It's got this piano. It's got this whistle. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to attempt to do that whistle, but it's got that. And then at the end of the album, do you know what I picture? I picture a vacant, barren London street.
Yeah.
A little bit of fog. Him with his hands in his pocket, maybe of an overcoat, just kind of wandering down the street doing the whistle like, hey, this show's over.
Yeah. I kind of picture, well, as you said, when the show's over, you know, the music that you just kind of keep playing in the moment, even if everybody else is gone, even if everybody stopped watching, you know, it's just kind of the music that you're playing.
Yeah. You know? Do you have a favorite song from that album?
Yeah. So as for my favorite song, I think I got to go with Scenes from an Italian Restaurant. I really like the,
you know,
yeah,
I just enjoy
that song.
That is a great song.
You know, just kind of tells a story.
Italian restaurant. Yeah. Yep. That's awesome. Sorry, I promised I wouldn't sing again.
No, that's like I said, it's fine by me. Scenes from an Italian Restaurant has to be my favorite song on that album.
Okay. Well, is it a keeper? Is it a Get the Vinyl of The Stranger?
I think it might be.
Okay.
I think it might be.
I like it. Well, good. Well, I think I'm going to let you roll right into your live albums.
All right. Well, we'll see how quickly you can guess this. I'll do a little scene setting for you. So it's 1992, August 30th. This band is at the peak, what I would argue is the peak of their fame. You know, they've been on tour for a while and then...
Dave Matthews?
No.
Okay. I don't know. I could pick several years for that. I don't know, 92. No, that would have been late. No, you're right. That would have been later on. I'll tell the I can't feel my feet story some other time.
Oh, once I say the band name, you'll be like, oh, yeah, it's definitely that band. Okay, never mind. So
wait a minute. So are we still in grunge or are we post grunge?
92?
Yeah.
Would be still in grunge.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. So 1992, August 30th. This comes from Reading, England, the Reading Festival, which actually still goes on, by the way, and it looks like a pretty cool music festival.
I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah. So band is at their peak fame, in my opinion. And they just play to probably one of the biggest crowds I've seen. And the energy is just electric. You know, they step on stage, you hear the distorted grungy guitars going, and then you got Kurt Cobain step out in his dress and his wig and deliver probably one of the best sets that I've heard from Kurt Cobain, in my opinion. And this would be Nirvana live at Reading.
Okay.
Yep.
So I don't want to get all sentimental here. And I know that I know our brother Dave's not listening.
Yeah.
But if we can just pause for a moment, because I know we both love that guy, at least, you know, from reading his book, humble, has gratitude.
Oh, yeah.
Appreciates what he's been given, and he's done well with what he's been given. But in the course of this one episode, of course, we're touching on two people he cared about. And that's happening in one episode. So,
yeah, I guess we both got Dave Grohl this week.
Yeah, we got Grohl on the mind. he is just a great, great performer, and I think a great guy. I don't know him personally, but I think a great guy from everything I've seen and everything I've read. So, yeah. So anything in particular aside from Cobain walking out on stage in a dress, anything in particular you want me to listen for?
That's difficult. I mean, it's a great performance in my opinion. You know, you got the,
is this distorted... the one where he came out on the wheelchair?
I don't know. It okay. might be, that might be one of the ones in California though.
Okay.
But you know, you got the starts off with the guitar rumbling on in, and then you hear Dave Grohl with his snare hits, just the yo, that sound is just a great album. You'll have to listen to it.
I'm super excited to listen to it. I'm glad we're having live week.
Yeah.
I do like a lot of live albums. And you already know what I'm going to give you because we started the podcast here with it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you Live at Wembley, Foo Fighters.
This
concert from beginning to end was so charged with energy and such a mastery of the band really being in the pocket with each other. And, you know, the concert starts and I don't even think Grohl has a chord. I think he might be just hitting open strings and he's going down the cat track right down the middle and he's playing that guitar, just a lot of noise. And then they pop into The Pretender. What a great start. And from The Pretender, they move on to Times Like These. Now, this is where I'm going to segue a little bit into my favorite version of Times Like These. And it's not going to be on this live album, but I'm going to ask you to go back and watch it. And it is the November 7, 2020, Saturday Night Live, when the Foo Fighters played... I think Chappelle was hosting that night and they played Times Like These. And if you go back to the temperature of this country and in this case, I am talking political temperature of this country where friends aren't talking to each other, families not talking to each other, not in particular my family, just in general. There are a lot of people who otherwise would have rational conversation that are at odds. They're polarized. And I felt like the Foo Fighters rendition of Times Like These in that Saturday Night Live episode was hands down my favorite Saturday Night Live performance. So I anyways, back to the live album. So you watch that though.
I will.
You know, of course they played all their hits, but there were some ones that I really like on this one. Stacked Actors. I love that song.
Yeah.
It's about midway through the concert. I just like the you know, line up the bastards. All I want is the truth. I mean, I love that lyric. it's through there. Of course, they play My Hero and Everlong.
Mm-hmm.
Can you guess what my favorite song is on this album?
Learn to Fly?
No.
Ah.
No, it's not that. Is that the Mentos song?
Yep.
Okay. No, not the Mentos song. Mine, and this is the one that I play when I'm on my final set in the gym. I hit this one song because it is explosive. And it is towards the end. Actually, mm-hmm. I think it's right before the end settles in. All My Life.
Oh, yeah.
It is such an awesome song. So they get in there. The guitars are crunching. There's this constant buildup. And then about three quarters of the way through the song, it's another buildup. And Grohl gets in. He says, "Let's fucking dance." And the whole crowd just explodes. And it's just it's the most awesome display of an arena just going wild. Not wild in an angry, violent way, wild and just in just celebration and joy, and that they're just having a kick-ass concert.
Yeah.
If that wasn't enough, Jimmy Page and John Paul Jones came out for the encore, and they played guitar and bass for a Taylor Hawkins singing Rock and Roll.
Yep.
And then it rolled right into Dave Grohl singing Ramble On. So, and of course they did another one of their tunes after, but the fact that Led Zeppelin came out and played for them at Wembley was a great wrap up to that concert.
Yeah.
So, one of my favorites, if not my favorite, but one of my favorite albums of all times.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to get Nirvana in Reading, correct?
Yeah. Yep.
And you're going to get Foo Fighters in Wembley.
All right.
Okay. Good luck and enjoy.
I'm sure I will.